This weekend, as we celebrate the royal wedding of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, as we celebrate the 250th anniversary of our nation's independence, I thought it would be fitting to remind ourselves of the significant role Baptists played in the founding of the United States and the continuing need to protect the freedoms we secured. You may or may not be aware that we have Baptists to thank for carving religious freedom into our nation's founding documents, which makes our gathering here today possible. The words we read from Galatians were their guiding inspiration. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Religious freedom was not always a bedrock principle for Columbus and the Europeans who immigrated to this land. Natives were forced by sword or enslavement into obedience or allegiance to the European church and to a form of Christianity that really did not resemble Jesus. There were others who came to this land to escape the Roman Catholic Church and the State Church of England, wanting the freedom to worship or not worship as led by their conscience. Some of those Christians who tried to escape state-sponsored religion while living in Europe were Baptists. Baptists, or Anabaptists, as we were first called, were forged under the banner of freedom. In addition to the practice of believers' baptism instead of infant baptism, believing a person should have the freedom to choose baptism, this small minority group of Baptists stood tall and suffered long, demanding religious freedom for all people. Upon coming to America, historic Baptists argued that every person in the newly formed nation should be free to believe or not believe as their conscience dictated. They opposed the power of the state to meddle in religious affairs, neither restricting nor favoring one religion over another. Our Baptist ancestors knew full well the brunt of persecution which comes when religious liberty is denied. Baptists in Europe and in the early years of this country were persecuted and whipped, beaten, imprisoned, some even killed for their commitment to religious freedom. In the 15th, 16th, 17th, and even early 18th century, religious freedom was not a guarantee in this land. Various experiments throughout the early American colonies were tried and tested. The fight for religious freedom was messy, often misunderstood, with some occurrences of violent persecution if you didn't fit in with the majority. John Smith and Thomas Helwys, Smith and Helwys may sound familiar to some of you. There were two trailblazers of Baptist tradition in the 17th century. The reason Baptists fought for the separation of church and state is their strong belief that, in the words of Helwys, one's religion to God is betwixt God and themselves. Helwys paid dearly for his stance. Thrown into prison in 1612, he died there in 1616. The priesthood of the believer is a Baptist principle that says each individual in the church has the freedom to believe and act as their conscience dictates, led by the Spirit of Jesus. In order for it to be a reality in the church, Baptists felt it needed to be a reality in the nation. In the early centuries of Europeans settling in America, there were strong opinions for and against religious liberty all along a spectrum. Notable Baptists Ann Hutchison and Roger Williams were kicked out of the Massachusetts Bay Colony as they fought for religious liberty. They moved to Providence, Rhode Island, where they established a colony of religious freedom and the First Baptist Church of America. Between 1766 and 1778, over 40 Baptist ministers were imprisoned for preaching religious liberty and the separation of church and state. When the Constitution appeared as if it were not going to be ratified, James Madison learned that some Baptists down in Virginia were opposed because they didn't feel like religious freedom was sufficiently secured. So Madison went to John Leland, an influential Baptist pastor and very strict church-state separationist. In his call for absolute religious freedom, Baptist John Leland boldly wrote in 1791, "Let every man speak freely without fear. Maintain the principles that he believes. Worship according to his own faith, either one God, three gods, no God, or 20 gods, and let government protect him in doing so." Madison promised that if the Baptists would support the Constitution, then he would push for a Bill of Rights providing for separation of church and state. As a result of their influence, Patrick Henry and Thomas Jefferson soon became supporters of the cause of religious freedom. The Baptists helped win a slim majority, and Madison wrote the First Amendment, which declares that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And though the meaning of the amendment is still debated, it has typically meant two things. One, the government has no business in matters of religion and must not use state law to enforce religious beliefs or practices in this country. And secondly, the government will not interfere with the religious beliefs and practices of its citizens as long as they do not harm or discriminate against others. And Baptists are largely responsible for that amendment. "For freedom, Christ has set us free," they cheered. In the 1963 version of the Baptist Faith and Message, which is a non-binding expression of general Baptist beliefs, underscores our strong tradition of the separation of church and state. It states the matter clearly in these words: "God alone is Lord of the conscience. Church and state should be separate. The state owes to every church protection and full freedom in the pursuit of its spiritual ends. In providing for such freedom, no ecclesiastical group or denomination should be favored by the state more than others. The church should not resort to civil power to carry on its work." Over the past couple of decades, or a little longer, there are, I guess you could call them, new Baptists who've broken away from the historic Baptist position of church-state separation. The paragraph on religious liberty from the 1763 Baptist Faith and Message I just read was removed from the 2000 version. There are Baptists who've recently called the separation of church and state a misnomer or the figment of some infidel's imagination. One of the main reasons I think this change has taken place is because Baptists are now a majority, especially in the South, but perhaps they feel the power slipping away. 250 years ago, when Baptists were a small minority, we cried freedom for all. Oppressed and persecuted people cry out for freedom. When you're small and powerless, as Baptists were in the early days of this country, freedom for all sounds good. But when we're the large and powerful majority, We begin to want to use that power to coerce and shape laws in our favor. But the words of the great Baptist preacher George Truett, longtime pastor of First Baptist Dallas, he calls us back to the wisdom of our roots. On May the 16th of 1920, Truett stood on the steps of the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and said that the supreme contribution that America has made thus far to civilization is the contribution of religious liberty, the separation of church and state. He said, "It is the natural and fundamental right of every human being to worship God or not, according to the dictates of his or her conscience, as long as he does not infringe upon the rights of others. Religion must be forever voluntary and uncoerced, and it is not the prerogative of any power, church or civil, to compel others to conform to any religious creed or form of worship. God wants free worshipers," he said, "and no other kind." When the cornerstone for a national memorial to religious liberty was laid in 1876, the late Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, Charles Evans Hughes, said, "This contribution is the glory of the Baptists' heritage. To this militant leadership, all sects and faiths are debtors." Many historians have called religious liberty the greatest contribution of Baptists to the world. Throughout America's history, threats have been and continue to be made to religious liberty, primarily by Christians who want their version of faith to be the nation's version of faith. But our founding documents prohibit such favoritism. And historic Baptists have always been at the forefront, demanding that the state remain involved in civil affairs and let the church be left to its affairs. Led for 90 years now by the Baptist Joint Committee of Public Affairs in Washington, D.C. Historic Baptists continue to demand that every individual have the freedom to worship as they choose or not worship as they choose. Freedom of religion also includes freedom from religion. One's right not to believe is as sacred as one's right to believe. My friend and the late Baptist historian Glenn Henson would often remind us, "Baptists must never assume that there is no danger to religious liberty or that the danger is too slight to bother. Religious liberty," he said, "is a fragile child. If not carefully nurtured and guarded, it may die. Only continuous attention to its health and well-being will assure its survival." Baptists have argued for religious freedom based on their understanding of God and Scripture. We have felt that God made each person free to believe in God or not to believe. God doesn't coerce us into conversion or prayer or church attendance. Jesus never did anything to force people to believe. Obedience without freedom is slavery. And Christ said he's come to set us free. So freedom is more than just a constitutional right. It's a God-given right. God is the source of our liberty. Liberty involves the freedom to respond voluntarily to God's Spirit. In fact, Christian faith is meaningless if it's not entered into voluntarily. In one of Schultz's comic strips, Sally and Linus are going out the front door to school, and Sally says, "I would make a good evangelist. You know that kid who sits behind me in school? I convinced him that my religion is better than his religion." "How'd you do that?" Linus asks. "I hit him with my lunchbox." Well, to some degree, that's the way some Christians have tried to spread their faith. if not with the physical force of a lunchbox, then with the legal force of law. They join themselves with the power of government and repress or condemn any religious viewpoint from their own and force their religion onto others. But as one preacher reminds us, Christ sent us out as lambs among wolves, not as wolves among lambs. And as God's people, we are commanded to love and allow the freedom that love implies. That is the biblical basis on which Baptists have set their love for freedom. It is true that many of our founders believed in God. Some did not. Some were practicing Christians, though not necessarily what we would call evangelical or orthodox. But with the help from Baptists, many of them gained the insight that though they were Christian, they would not create a land where the Christian religion would be forced onto others. The founders created a nation where people could freely worship as they pleased without fear of persecution by the state. And history proves that in the coercive hands of the state, the teachings of Jesus are most often ignored and religion is abused to further political purposes. One of the things I love best about this country and about my Baptist heritage, and there are many, is that I'm free to worship God as I choose, and others are free to follow their conscience. It continues to amaze me. People freely show up for worship. One of the best ways we can love our country and honor our Baptist heritage is to make sure that all people have religious freedom. Because as long as everybody in the country is free to worship and believe as they so choose, then you and I will have that same freedom. But the day someone cannot worship and believe as they choose, then it may be decided that you and I cannot worship and believe as we so choose. To enjoy freedom for ourselves means we have to defend freedom for others. We're called to be responsible Christian persons, to make sure that this land of the free is the land of the free for every citizen, even in the area of religion. The Roman Emperor Constantine in the 4th century established Christianity as the official religion of the Roman Empire, in an effort to unite the empire. And little by little, it led him to suppress other religions and eventually to suppress different forms of Christianity. Historic Baptists learned the lesson of Constantine and how through forcing religion onto others, it caused more harm than good to Christianity. All people must be free to accept or reject religion. And in all honesty, it must be said that frustration and even some confusion surrounding church-state issues runs deep. Misinformation abounds, history gets rewritten, and sincere people of faith disagree. Being Baptists can get quite sticky on issues related to prayer in schools, the Ten Commandments on classroom walls, and churches taking government funds. But being Baptist and honoring the freedom we have demands that we defend that freedom for all people, no matter what their faith. We are to be grateful and we are to love our country, even with all of its imperfections. Our calling as American citizens and people of faith is to defend our aspirational principles of liberty and justice for all, in particular, the freedom of faith. And we work diligently out of love to make our country better. As Christians, we can do so by heeding the words of Paul in today's scripture lesson when he writes, "Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, self-interest, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." I think one should always love one's country. You don't have to always agree with your country's leaders or policies or behavior. But you can't always love your country enough to work to make it better. And we are free to do just that. Free to put away the works of the flesh that harm our relationships with others. And in our freedom, allow the Holy Spirit to produce within us the beautiful fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, generosity, and self-control. May it be so among us.